Time now to talk about something that's on the top of our minds in winter, with many of us battling the flu around this time of year, maybe a bit earlier. It does get us thinking about how other species deal with influenza. I'm joined now by Dr. Kirsty Short, a researcher who specializes in serious flu infections at the University of Queensland, to give us the facts. Thanks for joining me, Kirsty.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
So, Kirsty, what animals also contract the flu?
Well, when we talk about the flu, actually, if we're going to get technical about it, there's three different types of the flu. So scientists are very original in their naming, and we call them influenza A, B, and C. So when we're talking about species that get the flu infections, we're really talking about getting influenza A. And influenza A seems to be able to infect lots of different species, so anything ranging from probably heard of pigs and chickens, but also whales, seals, camels, pandas, a really long list of species.
And why are they able to contract the flu as well? How different is the flu that they contract to what humans get?
Yeah, that's a really key question. So actually, the sort of natural reservoir for influenza A is actually wild birds. So it's not a human-specific virus at all. It's just that often we focus on it being a human-specific virus because, you know, we're not so concerned about, say, the health of camels, although perhaps we should be. So basically what can happen is the virus can spread from these wild birds, which is its native reservoir, and certainly in some of those steps along the way, the virus does have to adapt to the new host, but sometimes it doesn't. It really depends on the host and the particular strain of flu.
Now, you just mentioned that maybe we should be worried about animals getting flu. Why should we be so worried about animal influenza?
Well, I think what we're really seeing in science now is this notion that actually human health is really affected by the health of all the other species around us. So this is not just about appreciating that, you know, for example, with the environment, if we destroy the environment, it's not going to be a very nice world for humans. But it's also the fact if we're surrounded by animals that are infected with the flu and that can potentially spread the flu to us, we need to not only focus on understanding our health, but also understanding their health and understanding how we can prevent, say, animal infections of the flu, which then may in turn prevent human infections of the flu.
Obviously, a lot of work goes into human influenza and how to prevent and treat that, but how much work and research goes into animal influenza at the moment?
Probably more than you would think. There's a lot of people who work on this, and it's actually very exciting because what we're seeing now is there's actually really good surveillance of a lot of flu strains that are circulating in animals, with the growing recognition that actually this is sort of almost a way for us to prepare or foreshadow any potential flu pandemic. So there is actually a lot of work going on in animal flu. Certainly, some animals are not as focused on as others. But definitely when you're talking about birds or even pigs and understanding flu infection in those, there's a lot of research that's going on.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Dr. Kirsty Short from the University of Queensland. And Kirsty, what can we actually do then if we do learn, understand more about animal influenza and how it spreads and how we could possibly treat it? What might we actually do and what effect might that have?
So I think the really important notion is understanding that human and animal interactions can be a potential source of infectious disease and infectious disease crossing over from, say, an animal species to humans. And so it's not about necessarily limiting these interactions. It's not like you should never go to a zoo or never keep a pet or anything like that. But it's also about being aware of protective measures we can take. So one really good example of this is some of the really bad strains of flu that have emerged in Asia. They're typically emerging after people have come into close contact with poultry. So one of the ways in which we can mitigate this is that if you are somebody who comes into close contact with poultry, so for example, you work at a live poultry market, things like wearing a face mask, washing hands, being aware of the signs and symptoms of influenza in your poultry so that you can actually minimize the risk of it spreading across to humans.
So then is it mostly a matter of public education as far as prevention is better than the cure?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's a matter of public education. And I think what we're going to see in the future is that as humans continue to encroach upon the space, which was previously just animals, you know, it's uninhabited, we're going to get more of what we call these zoonoses, these events where viruses can jump from animal species to humans. And this happens a lot. This is exactly how Ebola comes into the human population. Also, viruses like SARS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. So this is a common theme. So I think it is going to be one of the big challenges for the future. And I think certainly public awareness is one of the big, big things that we can actually improve.
So moving forward, do you think we're going to see a rash of people vaccinating their pets against influenza?
Probably not. I mean, already the human population, it's not that everyone gets vaccinated against influenza. And the real problem with influenza is that the virus changes very rapidly and the virus can mutate very quickly. So this means that even, and this is what we see with the seasonal flu vaccine, right? Even if you get vaccinated one year, you're not protected necessarily from the next year's flu. So that's a problem if we wanted to ever vaccinate animals. I mean, there's practicality things here as well. Probably mm-hmm. cost is a big one. But I think it is an interesting concept. And you are seeing, again, with birds, people are exploring this option.
All right. Well, thank you, Kirsty. It's very interesting. Thanks for helping inform us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And that was Dr. Kirsty Short from the University of Queensland, a researcher specializing in serious flu infections.